Kia ora. Welcome to the Arise Church podcast. For more details, you can find us at arisechurch.com. But right now, we're going to hear a message from myself, our Wellington campus pastor, Chris White. We really trust you'll enjoy today's message.
I'm going to read from Matthew 16, starting at verse 18. God was speaking to Peter and he said this, "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." In other translations, it says the gates of hell. What it's saying is there's no spiritual darkness that can hold this back. He's saying my church is advancing. It started then and it's continuing on to now. It's going to continue going forward. And he's saying there is no power on this earth or in the heavens that can stop the advancement of our church. God is building his church. He's building it. And God said he hasn't finished. So Anna and I, we love a TV show called Grand Designs. And I think which officially makes us old people. Can I just by show of hands, is there anyone under the age of 25 who likes the show Grand Designs? Wow. Okay. There's some three sheepish people that are just, what's me? Most of them are sort of at the top end of, you know, under 25. I just want to let you know that. So if you've never seen the show, like a UK-based show, like essentially the clue is in the title. Every show is about a house being built, and there's something grand or unique about that particular house. Maybe it's got unique challenges in a unique location. I don't know. You know, it's got some unique part of its design, and it's incredible to watch the show. In actual fact, they did the New Zealand version of the series. And on it, there was a person who used to be part of our campus here, who was an architect, built his own home, and it featured on the show, in the New Zealand show. And it was, I've seen a fair few of them. It was the only house I've seen like it. Most houses are built with foundations. You built concrete foundations. You build the house up. His wasn't like that at all. It wasn't built on top of anything. The house was literally built on the side of a hill, and the whole house was cantilevered outside of the hill. So there was nothing underneath it. It was drilled into the side of the hill. He's never invited me to the house. I don't know if I want to go in the house, to be honest. It's been standing for quite a few years, but it is a phenomenal feat, you know? But the funny thing is the show, virtually the same thing happens every time, you know? I don't know whether they plan it the way. It just happens every time. So you see the whoever's building the house at the start, maybe it's a couple, they're happy, they're excited, they're bright-eyed, they're bushy-tailed, they've got great dreams and incredible optimism. We planned this. This is going to go incredibly well. Oh, and my husband, he'll be project managing. Has he ever done that before? No, never. But it's just going to go so good. We just know it's going to go that great. You know, and they've got budgets in mind, but we're pretty sure we'll come under budget. And we've got an incredible time frame. We're going to get it done in 3 days. But it's just going to be amazing, you know. And they have this wild optimism. And then inevitably, it all turns to custard. And like halfway through the episode, you're wondering if the couple's marriage is going to last. You know, they're just looking like this is the worst idea ever. Why did we do this? You know, and like, and all things kind of go wrong. And depending on which one it is, sometimes the building company goes bust, or, you know, COVID hits and nobody's working anymore. Or they discover some ancient well in their foundations and they have to, you know, they have to keep that in some way, you know. But then inevitably you get to, you're wondering, is it ever going to get done? And then you get to the end of the show and the driver pulls up in his Land Rover, you know, and the birds are chirping, the music's all light and airy, and the couple turns up. Oh, have you arrived today? We weren't expecting you. We should have tied it up, but the house is immaculate anyway. And look at this bowl of fruit. Just to show that we're so hospitable, you know. And inevitably you go, wow, it was all worth it in the end. But what I love about the show is it's not just about building a house, because I look at that and I think, this is my life. You know, this is our lives. You think, well, let's have kids. That'll be easy. You know what I mean? And then you have kids. You're like, are we ever going to survive this thing? You know? And then your kids grow up and get married. Like, nah, that's how we planned it to turn out. That was just, wasn't that hard at all, you know? And so much of our life goes like this, you know? You got these great dreams, then you go through the hard yards, but get the other side and the payoff is amazing, and you look back with incredible gratitude at all that God has done in your life. And I love that kind of thing. But here's the thing. God is not only building his church, God is building your life. God is building your life. And I believe that because, again, it says it in God's word. It says it here, 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's talking about that we're all got unveiled faces. We continue to see the glory of the Lord. But it says we're progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Goes on in another scripture to say this in Philippians 1:6. We're being confident of this. It's talking about us. We can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is building something in your life. He's building your life. He's building a grand design, I might add. And it's not just him that's building it. We are co-labor with him. We're building as well. It says this in Jude 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Continually progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, it says in the Amplified Bible. But here's the thing. You may think, oh, I can hear you saying it, but I just don't know if I believe it. I don't know if I believe that God's doing that in my life. Look, I think there's many people when you're in the room now, and maybe you feel like it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like that. Look, I know I've mentioned this before, but when I first came to Arise, I certainly didn't feel like my life was going in a great direction. And I remember one, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I remember one particular Sunday, and Pastor John was preaching, and he just said a phrase, which I, the first time I ever heard it then, I didn't realize he would say it multiple times afterwards, but he said, you know, your best days are ahead of you. And you know how sometimes you have this fleeting thought that is your real thought, before you can catch yourself from stopping from thinking that. And I thought to myself, I looked around the room, I thought, yeah, that's probably true for most people, but it's not true of me. And then I was taken aback. Why was I thinking that? For some reason, I got to a place in my life, I thought, I don't know where I left the track, but I left the track. And how did I get here? How did I end up in this particular spot? I thought to myself, I don't see a bright future ahead. I'll do my best. Man, what have I got? I'm not sure, but I'm going to do the best with what I've got, but I don't know if it's going to be that incredible. I'm just being honest with you. And some of us will find ourselves in that place. I don't know what's caused you to get in that place. If you are there, I want to tell you this. Hallelujah. It is not the truth of God for your life. It's not the truth of God for your life. God's word says something completely different. You may feel like you're in that place, but I want you to know for sure, God is building your life. He's building your life. It's his plan. It's his purpose. It's his will. He said it in his word. What he says in his word, he's going to do. He's going to build your life. He's got a great plan, a great design. I would even say a grand design for your life. That's what God's going to do in your world. And God wants to do something. In this message today, what I want to do is, maybe it's ambitious, but what I want to do is I believe that God's got a great plan for our church. He's building the church, and he's building your life, and those two things are going side by side, and they're simultaneous. And in my mind, that's what I want to speak to today. Is that okay? Those two things, all right? So there's a few little points I want to make that I believe are really important for us to grab a hold of. The first one is this: building requires action. You're like, man, are these deep points, or are these just fairly obvious points? Well, I tell you what, you got to understand that building requires work, effort, and action. No one got to where God was leading them by just staying still. You need to do something. Maybe you don't know where you're going, but you need to start somewhere. You need to do something. You need to knock on a door. Like, I don't know. You need to push something open. You need to get up and start walking. You need to step out of the boat. I don't know. You need to start doing something unique. You need to start doing what you feel is the right thing to do. Chances are God's already been speaking to you. And I believe as I was preparing this message, I felt like that God was saying, there's people I'm speaking to right now, and they've heard it, but they're just not registering, is that God yet or not? And I want to tell you, God is speaking to you. Maybe it freaks you out a little bit. I don't know. Maybe it's going to push you out of your comfort zone, and I believe it will. And maybe you've already started talking yourself out of it, but I want you to talk yourself back into it again, because God's plans are always the best ways. They're going brighter and brighter till the noonday sun. That's God's plan for your life, and he wants to encourage you to keep stepping out on that plan. The thing is that we look at the people, our heroes in the faith in the Bible, and we're like, ah, these are the guys that took risks. These are the women that put their life on the line. You know, and we laud them as great people, but we find it so hard to do the same things ourselves. But I tell you what, anyone who did something great in the Lord took a risk. They stepped out of the boat. Maybe they reduced their army from 32,000 down to 300. Do you think Gideon was wondering, is that a good idea? I sure hope this is God, because if it's not, it's just going to go really badly. They threw the net out on the other side of the boat. They marched around a city 13 times and then broke clay jars. And that's not like out of a textbook of war. But I tell you what, that caused the city walls to come down. You know, and we applaud these people. They prayed for healing. They gave all their money away. For one person, despite his speech impediment, decided he would go up against the most powerful man in the world and try and convince him to let God's people go. Isn't that incredible? And all of these guys took a risk. They stepped out. When they heard the voice of God, did they question it? Sometimes they did. But they went ahead and did it anyway. And we just need to get moving. We just need to make a step. We just need to start that process. The second thing is this. We need to be prepared because it will cost you. It will cost you. This is the hard part, eh? But I tell you what, if you can settle this part at the start, then you're much better when you're going through it. When it came to our very own Grand Designs, we need to take a leaf out of the TV series. So there will be bumps along the way. I'll let you know. There's always bumps along the way, some expected turns. There is a cost that we outline at the start, but you need to be prepared. There might be some extra costs along the way. We've had the privilege of building a couple of houses. It's also scary all at the same time, you know, and it's, you think that we would have learned a lot by building the first house before we built the second house. But when we came to building the second house, we thought we need to plan this thing a whole lot better than we did the first time around. And so we purchased the land. We didn't start the actual build until over 2 years later. Why? Because we kept going over the plans. We need to change it. The plans needed to be right. I thought to myself, we're going to be organized this time. This is going to go really well. We did all of our planning. We counted the cost. We looked at the budget. Yes, we can afford it. Thought, what could go wrong? And we broke ground on March 2020. And for those of you who worked it out, 3 weeks later, the whole country went into lockdown. And now the project is delayed by months. You know, I actually met the builder who was building the project in Mitre 10, you know, the day that the lockdown was announced. And he's in Mitre 10. I said, what are you doing? Oh, well, I'll be spending weeks in my own house, so I may as well do some renovations in my place. You know, like, wow, so you won't be working on my place anymore, yeah. You know, and I tell you what, you suddenly see that there can be unexpected costs. But I tell you what, it's not unexpected for the Lord. It's not unexpected for the Lord. Can I just say, we had the first situation where we built a house. We had an opportunity. We could buy a house or build a house. And kind of like those two things were presented to us. And we just said, God, what's the right choice? You know, because that's what you do. You go to God. What is the right thing to do? And for the first time in my life, I felt God say this thing. Either one, you choose. I'll bless it either way. I'm like, really? What? Like, seriously? Yeah, either one. Your decision. I don't mind. You go for the one you want. I'm like, wow. You know what? Sometimes we live our lives like there's this tightrope of decisions we have to make. But I think more often than we realize, God's saying, I don't mind which one. You just make a decision. I'll bless either one. And so I thought, man, we should build. Long story short, and I've explained this before, long story short, but we decided to go for a build and we were building a house. And we'd sold our other house, so we had enough money to start the build, start the project. We got to put the roof on, and then I needed to go to the bank to say, hey, look, let's start to draw down the loan, because that approved a loan for us. But the thing I didn't realize, I'd gone for the wrong loan. I'd gone for a loan to buy a house, not to build a house. So we're now halfway through a build. I said, hey, let's draw down on that money. Now, part of you are looking at me like, what an idiot. I thought the same thing myself. Just want to let you know. And they said, oh, so what house are you buying? I said, no, we're building. No, this is how it's going. Oh, that's a completely different loan. And anyway, I'm like, what are we going to do? I had a chat to a friend. He said, oh, it's easy, man. All you need to prove is that you've got a combined income earning this much. I said, oh, good, good, good. What if we don't? Because, can I say, we were well under that. He says, ooh, that's when it gets trickier. Anyway, like now you're imagining all the worst case scenarios. And I'm sitting there going, God, you said you're blessed it either way. But maybe because of my inexperience, maybe because of my lack of skill, I have ruined the plan. Sometimes we feel that. Sometimes we think, well, God could have done it, but I got in the way and I messed it all up. But I tell you what, it's still not a surprise to God. This is what it says in Isaiah 43. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. God is our Savior. Let's give him some praise. Let's thank him for his goodness. To God, our mistakes, they're no surprise. The bank eventually came back to us. The woman representing the bank, she said, I want you to know your bank loan has been approved. She said, I also got to let you know I'm really, really surprised. She said, I had a chat to the bank and I said, you're really nice people. I've never seen that in the working marking sheet for a bank, you know, like, oh, really nice people. Ah, that puts them up about 20 grand. That should be, we're above the threshold now. That's fine. That's sweet as, you know. And she was absolutely shocked that they'd done it. But I tell you what, sometimes that's how God works. Even though we're flawed, even though we made mistakes, even though we stuffed it up, God goes, I'll sort that out. Just come on, stand back up again. That's what God does in our life. That's what he does. The third thing is the reward is worth it. The reward is worth it. I love that the end of the episodes on Grand Designs, you see the great reward at the end. You know, it's the payoff for all the hard work. And you're like, man, this is absolutely incredible. Everything that is good that is built follows a similar design. You know, great plans at the start. Things get really hairy in the middle, but the payoff comes at the end. You eventually get there. Can I say this building is an example of that, by the way. This building, we purchased this land many, many years ago, and there was so much risk attached to it. You think, oh, what risk is here? Because you're sitting in it now, so you think, this wasn't risky. No, there was risk all along the way. There was areas where it could have fallen over all the time. It was ages before we could convince the person who owned the land to sell it to us. That took a lot. That took hard work. I was in one of the prayer meetings. We're just marching around the land, praying on the land. One of our staff members, who, by the way, who's just started claiming, God, give us back our land, give us back our land. Her husband, who's Māori, said, trust a Māori to say that, eh? You know, but, you know, That's just by the by. He called it out, but there we go. It was just funny. But we were claiming, God, you got to do something. Then they sold us the land. Then, by the way, after a few months later, the government got in touch with us. I don't know the exact storyline of how this worked, but they said, hey, by the way, we're going to take some of the land back. We're actually going to split it in half because we're building a motorway right through it, you know? And I was like, oh, that would have ruined everything. But you know what? God said, I'm going to bless it. You just hold on. I'm going to push this thing aside. And that's what God does. And God made it happen. And then, of course, you design the building. If you've ever talked to a designer, Brad was on that video screen before. He will agonize over every part of a building. Is this fit for purpose? He's trying to imagine the future. When you build a building, you're not thinking of now, you're imagining the future. Will this work for the future? Everything is about that. You hope you get it right. Will you get it all right? No, you won't. You're going to make some mistakes. There are risks along the way. But I tell you what, we stand in the blessing of the building. And literally, thousands of people have given their lives to Jesus in this building. Young people, kids, we've had youth here on Friday night. Come combine youth events. On some combined youth event nights, we've had over 100 give their lives to Jesus in one night. Here on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, we've had life group leaders trained in this building, taking not just what happens here on a Sunday, into their homes where God is moving in homes. We had business leaders inspired, encouraged, raised back up into the marketplace to make a difference. We've combined two campuses here. That was a blessing of the Lord. And all of it we enjoy now because of what God has done. And here's the other amazing thing. This was paid for by our annual offering year upon year. And now this building is absolutely freehold. And isn't that a blessing of the Lord we need to praise him for? We live in the blessing of God because of what he's done. And God made a plan. People stepped out. They took a risk. Things went south, but then we got it right again. And now we stand in like that Grand Designs end scene where it's like, it wasn't that hard. You know, and none of us were really involved in it, but it wasn't that hard. But that's the incredible thing about what God is doing. Right now, by the way, I want to say this. We're standing on the edge of something that God's doing in this campus and in this location. I want to share that with you. We just shared it briefly last Sunday, a real kind of quick snippet. But this is what I believe God is doing. And if the band could come, that would be great. Anna and I, at the end of last year, we spent some time in prayer, beginning of this year. We got together and we start to write down what we think God is saying. And I want to read something. I've never put it on screen before, but I want to put it on screen this morning. And this is not scripture, by the way. This is just the impression we felt like God was sharing with us. And I thought it's helpful so you could see it as well. And we want to share it with you. But this is what we believe God was saying about this church this year. I want you to build. By the way, when we felt God saying you, it felt like he's not saying Anna and I. He's talking about everyone who is part of this thing. Okay? So you put your name in here. All right? I want you to build a church of influence for the city of Wellington. A church that will plow the ground for a mighty harvest. I want you to work alongside other churches. That's one of the first times I've felt God be so clear about that. But I believe that he's bringing unity amongst the churches of Wellington, by the way. I want you to work alongside other churches, and I want you to work in line with Arise as a whole. We are not independent. We're not out here doing our own thing. We are part of a greater movement, and I'm so grateful for that. I am building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That is directly from Scripture, so you can quote that one. That's great. But you are a part of that great movement in Aotearoa, New Zealand. What's he talking about? You're part of that great movement in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Well, that's the church, capital C church. God has had a plan in this nation. He's been investing his gospel, first preached in 1840, I believe, continuing on throughout generation and after generation. And now we're at the forefront of what the gospel is doing in this city and in this nation. He's saying, you are a part of that great movement. The Spirit of God moving in this nation. The Spirit of God moving in this city. We are a part of that. He goes on to say, you are a part of that great movement in Wellington, the Hutt Valley, and the northern suburbs. You know, there have been many phenomenal churches and church leaders who've lived in the city of Wellington, Hutt Valley, northern suburbs, for decades. Year after year, they hand the baton on to new people. The baton is in our hands, people. It's in our hands. It's our opportunity. And then he says these four together statements. Together, we will destroy the work of the enemy. Together, we will minister to broken hearts. Together, we will reach the lost. Together, we will turn hearts towards the name of Jesus. I love that. Can we praise God for that? We don't do it alone. We don't do it in small groups. We do that together. That's all of us together. We're doing it together. It's a vital work. It's an eternal work. It's a work that will change this nation. I love this. God's saying, don't underestimate what I can do through you as a people. Man, if you've been sitting here going, man, do I make a difference or not? Yeah, you make a difference. Do not underestimate what God can do through you as a people. Do not underestimate what I can do with heart surrendered pursuing me. Be my disciples. Follow me. Teach others to follow me. You're doing the work of the kingdom. So here's the next step. Here's the next step. We believe that we've been running services in the Hutt Valley. We've been running services in the northern suburbs. But God said this. You're part of the great movement in Wellington, the Hutt Valley, and the northern suburbs. We believe we need to start running services in Wellington City. We believe it's time. We believe it's time we start planning it, start a strategy. Why? Because this is our mission as a church. This is our mission as a church. We have a mission to reach the city for Jesus, don't we? That's what we're called to do. We're called to reach the city with Jesus. I believe God is raising up many churches. We need more churches in the city of Wellington. We want to be a part of that, but we don't want to just abdicate to every other church. We've got a part to play. We need to be there, have a presence in the city as well. Wellington City in the inner suburbs has a population of about 200,000 people. That is a lot of people. That's around about the same equivalent to the Hutt Valley and the northern suburbs. They're around about, that's how it works. Man, we need a large presence in the city. We need it. We need to change the fabric of that city. Man, we've been praying and believing that God would change the water level of spirituality in this city of ours. And we need to be there to make that happen. That is the seat of power. The capital city, right in the capital city, that's a big influence on this nation. We need more churches in there influencing that spiritually. We need to be part of that movement, making that happen. You know what? There's 40,000 students in the city of Wellington. Someone told me that stat recently. 40,000 students. That is a massive number, by the way. When you become a student, now you're actually on the lookout for your future. You think either you've just changed something or you're setting yourself up for something. And you're thinking about the future. You're looking ahead. You are probably the most open to change that you have ever been. And that is a time where we need people to hear the gospel. That's a time when people need to meet other Christians to come into contact with them. That's a time when the church door needs to be wide open and people can just walk in and find a connection with God and find their opportunity with God. Surely we need to influence that city. Surely we need to make a difference. We're called to take responsibility. We're called as part of the other churches to take responsibility. And Anna and I want to share this with you before we took many other steps. So have we got the whole plan mapped out? Well, no, we haven't. This is pretty early stages. What we want you to know is we've got a few things sorted. Is it going to be risky? Yes, it is going to be risky. Will we encounter some unexpected problems along the way? I don't want to prophesy that, but probably there will be some things that might get in the way. Will it cost us much? Yeah, absolutely. It's going to cost us some time and energy and effort. It will cost us in money, by the way. You'll be well aware that we have actually just recently reduced our staff to match the tithe that we regularly get in from our church. So we don't have a slush fund where we go, hey, let's just throw that out. You want to do services in the city? Yeah, we got that on hand. We don't have that ready. But this is what our annual offering does. Where our regular tithes, they help make sure we budget our staffing off that. The annual offering opens doors for opportunity. That's where we got some new projects on the go. That's where this comes into play. And as we give into that annual offering, it opens a door for us to be able to start services like this. There are many things that we can give towards. By the way, there's booklets on every third seat. You can have a look at what we're investing into. But here in the Wellington location, we want to invest back into the city. See God do something incredible. Come on, this is an amazing opportunity. I don't want us to miss this. I don't want us to miss this. I don't want you to think, this offering doesn't mean that much. No. This offering is significant. This is offering helps to determine how wide that door goes, how soon we can actually make this thing happen. I'm really excited. What's the timeline? When do we plan on starting services? Well, we're not exactly sure. We really have hit this with you pretty early in our thinking process. What we do know though, is we would love to have a services underway before we launch our outreach program into university in around about March next year. We would love to have that happening before then. And so that's a great goal of ours. Here's another thing. What does it look like? What time of day? Again, we have not put this into concrete, but here's one thought I want to throw at you. One possibility. What if we didn't run two services that compete against each other in terms of time? What if we decided we're going to run a morning service here, and we're going to run a night service in the city? I'm not saying that's exactly how we'll do it, but that could be a possibility. And we as a people pour our energy into that location. This is what we're doing. We're throwing a net out on the other side of the boat. We're not throwing everyone who was part of the city campus, throwing them out of the boat and saying, hey, you guys, you sort that out. You'll be sweet. That's going to go great. That's not, we do this together. We do this together. Man, together we build, together we give, together we get to reap a harvest, together we see God do some amazing things.
Thank you for joining us for the Arise Church podcast. We hope this message has blessed you. For more content or resources, visit arisechurch.com. Matiwa, see you soon.